It'll be a little different. The way I'm normally geared to preach. I want you to look at verse 19. It says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. Lord, help me to preach right. Lord, get yourself some glory. And show us where we are and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand that when we read this passage, that we are reading a passage of prophecy. This is not the only time that this subject is addressed in the Bible, or the only time that this promise is made. It's repeated in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, and talks about the covenant that God will make with the house of Israel after those days. And we read throughout the Old Testament and the prophecies in the New Testament that one day God will restore His chosen people as He promised to do. And will in fact birth a nation in a day. And so I don't want you to think that we're forgetting where this passage belongs. But you know, I kind of need a new heart too. One of these days, the Lord's going to split the sky and I'm going to see Him and I'm going to be made like Him because I'm going to see Him as He is. But it is also true that in the meantime, every man that hath this hope in him purify themselves even as He is pure, and you ought to be trying to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ and live like the Lord Jesus Christ and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and be holy and full of faith and hope and charity and be a blessing to the people around you and get that root of sin and bitterness out the best you can even before He comes. I read this verse and it kind of lines up with a little bit of a story that took place for me. I'm not normally one for telling a lot of stories, especially not in a long kind of way. But back several years ago, I believe it was 2008, in November 2008, I had gotten a book off my bookshelf, and it was a book by Charles Finney, and I was reading it, and I like reading old authors and old Christian men, and I was reading it, and just came upon my heart a desire for the Lord. You ever had, like the Bible talks about, that thirsting after God in Psalm 42, and when shall I come and appear before God? You just want a taste of God, and I wanted a taste of God that day, and I was reading this book, and there in the book it said you ought to make a list. I mean, if you want revival in your heart, you want to find God, you want to know God. I know I'm saved, but I want to walk with God. And so I had this desire intense in my heart, and so I'm reading this book, and it said, make a list of anything that between you and God so you can get it right. And so I got down beside my chair, and I got me a pad of paper, and I got me a pen, and I started writing down some stuff. And suddenly it dawned on me that the list I was making was my list. And not God's. Did you know that we can be fully convinced because we've been around enough preachers and enough gospel tracts and enough books and enough camp meetings and enough missions conferences and even enough alone with our heart, and we've been immersed into the society, the kind of counterculture Baptist Christian American society. And those things have built in our minds a picture of what God expects. And sometimes I am absolutely convinced that in spite of all the men I admired and how right they may have been to preach what they preached, nevertheless in my mind has been built an image of a genuine Christian that does not line up with the one God has. So I took my tablet, threw it across the room, which is a real rare thing for me. You can ask the people that know me, I don't get mad very easy. And I threw it across the room and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know what you like. And Lord, I just wish that you'd... I heard a soldier say one time that when they joined the military, this is a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, he told me, when I joined, he said, they tore me down and built me back a man. And I said, Lord, would you tear me back down and build me back a Christian? I look at this verse and I say, I wonder what it feels like if God tears your heart out. What's it feel like if God tears a man's heart out? To put a new one in. Old one's got to come out for the new one to be put in. Old clothes off, new clothes on. Old man down, new man alive. Reckon yourselves to be dead. And I said, Lord. Tear me down and build me back. It's a pretty good few weeks. You know, I don't want you to think I'm stretching this, because when I read this verse, I realize that it is prophecy. And nevertheless, I've read in Zechariah chapter 12 what's going to happen when God takes their heart out and puts a new one in. And the Bible says they're going to mourn as one mourns for his only son. I've read in the book of Revelation how all the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Of course, some may be disappointed to see him. Some in repentance. I don't know how it's going to work out. The point is, when God tears your heart out, there's liable to be some tears. And it's a temptation when I have tears to think that God's mistreating me. But if I could just remember the next time my heart's broken and it feels like it's being torn apart and I'm blaming God, if I could just remember, I'm the one that asked and I still want the new heart. I have not changed my mind. You know, in that old heart there are the rudiments of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And from those three motivations, everything that comes out of my old heart stinks to the Lord. But in this new heart that He desires to create, I know I'm born again. I know I'm a brand new man on the inside. I'm talking about transition and growth and being different from day to day. And I'm telling you what He wants to develop in me. He wants me to have some faith. He wants me to have some hope. He wants me to have some charity. So that from this new heart, everything I do is because I trust God. And I look forward to heaven. And I love people. And He'd just like to take out the old heart, put in a new. My question is, what's it feel like when God tears out your heart? What did you expect it to feel like? I'll tell you what it feels like. My wife and I had been married 5 years when this took place. We had a couple real good months. We went to special meetings. Felt the moving of the Holy Spirit. Had great times in prayer. I like it when you talk to God, He talks back. Conversation's kind of like a refrigerator box. It's not heavy. It's just awkward when there's only one guy. And there you are talking to the Lord, and he talks back. Boy, that was sweet. I liked it when through this intensity of desire, the Lord felt near and real like he hadn't in a long time. And it was a turning point in my life. And I remember going and visiting with people, and they would say, "What's been going on?" And I'd tell them, "I'm seeking God." And they would just break down and start crying. I'd tell them about what was going on. And they say, "I want God too." We'd pray together. Man, it was just a blessing. We'd been married 5 years. And we were grieved because it didn't appear that we were going to ever be able to have children. And during the middle of this intense, wonderful spiritual time of my life, my wife said, "We're expecting a baby." Amen. Man, what a day. I was feeling like a proud daddy. Baby wasn't even born yet. Well, we decided first thing, what we're going to do is we're going to read Bible to our baby every night. We're going to sing to the baby. We are going to be there. Man, this is going to be great. This is our prayer baby. I mean, you know, we've been reading about Hannah and all that. You know how it goes. So I picked a song. You ever heard that song, "How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours When Jesus No Longer I See? Sweet, sweet prospects, sweet birds and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me." It's talking about being close to the Lord. Sometimes you feel close and sometimes you don't. Man, you just long to be close. "While blessed with a sense of His love." Amen. So I sang the song every night. Read Psalm 45. We read it every night. Sang the song. It was a great time. The Lord was close. We were close. I thought, man, this getting right with God is great. Then we went to get an ultrasound. And we're going to find out what the baby was. Well, the baby was kicking and carrying on and in the way. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And we went home not knowing what the baby was. We were real disappointed. And we got about halfway home. It was about an hour drive. And we got about halfway home. We had got a call from the doctor. Turn around, come back. We went back. She said, "I have bad news." I started feeling what it feels like. God tears your heart out. We went and got an ultrasound almost every 2 weeks for the entirety of that pregnancy. And every time we got more bad news. God tore my heart out. It's tempting to say, "Why, Lord?" But what did I think it was going to feel like when the old heart comes out and the new heart goes in? We just kept getting bad news, and then, of course, the day came and we went to the hospital, and it was a false alarm. And it was on a Sunday morning. So I'd gotten somebody lined up to preach. We rushed down to Nashville, Vanderbilt Hospital down there, and we couldn't make it back for church. So I said, "Well, false alarm, let's find a church here." There's a preacher we knew that was preaching up at a church in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, and so we drove up there, and it was just interesting because there we were away from our home church. We walked in, and he was in the middle. He taught Sunday school, and he told two stories about people that died and how God gave them grace and gave the people around them grace in that time. That was kind of strange. We just ended up being there that morning. One boy had been backed over by a vehicle in the church parking lot. And his little brother was standing there watching. It was a horrible, horrible thing. And they were worried about that little boy being traumatized. And they said, what happened, you know, to him? They were trying to see if he had effects from it. And he said, I don't know why. He said, I couldn't see him. He said, there was a big man standing in the way. One week later, wound up in the hospital, and it was time, and through a long ordeal, the baby was finally born, and I sat in the intensive care unit holding our firstborn child, Rebecca. And I was rocking her in my arms, and I sang the same song I'd been singing for 9 months. And a baby not even 4 hours old smiled. That may not mean something to anybody. I know everybody hears these stories and they think, what? Oh, you got to be kidding. Oh, she just had gas or something, you know. But I'm telling you, I was the one sitting there. So don't argue with me. And I said, baby girl, your daddy likes to teach. But I don't know what to tell you. And all of a sudden, what's learning your ABCs when we knew she wasn't going to make it? What's the point in learning to count or read a book? Who cares about American history when your child's dying? What can you tell her? I said, Rebecca, I'm just going to tell you everything I know about heaven. Because that's all you need to know. I mean, don't have to tell them how to get saved, little baby. I mean, all the stuff that we think is so important, even the most important, didn't matter at that minute. It was a very unusual experience as God took and tore my heart out. You got to have the heart torn out before you can put a new one in. Yeah. I'd been wanting a new one. So I told her, I said, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And I read about a city that has gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and streets of gold. And I read about a stream, a river of life flowing out of that. I read about a tree of life on both sides, and I said, and most of all, Jesus is going to be there. And we'd been reading Psalm 45 this whole time, and it says, hearken, O daughter, and consider, forget also thine own people and thy father's house, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And I quoted that verse to her, and I said, sweetheart, I said, the first thing, I said, I don't know much. You're going to know more than Daddy in just a few hours maybe. But I do know one thing. When you get there, you're supposed to bow. And so I'm just going to give you one instruction in your whole life, just one rule. I didn't get to tell her to go to sleep. I didn't get to tell her to eat her food. Didn't get to tell her to do her schoolwork. But I told her there's one rule. When you get there, you got to bow. Because He's the King. Worship thou Him. Forget about us and worship Him. And I was quoting the Bible to her, and oh, the Lord was in the hospital. And He was doing surgery. Taking old heart out. Putting a new heart in. I've heard so many prayer requests in my life. I could just about sleep through them. But after Rebecca died, it ain't the same. People are hurting, man. When they hurt, I hurt with them. Because my new heart works better than my old one. I know the process isn't complete yet, and that from glory to glory, we're being changed into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that it is a day by day. We die daily, and we walk by faith. But nevertheless, there's some turning spots where there's some surgery done, and the old heart's torn out, and the new heart's put in. Went down to the parking garage to move the car. I don't know about you, but I'm just one of those people. It's like when I get around the hospital, I got ADHD or something. I cannot stay in a hospital room. I cannot stand still. I pace and walk and everything, go get 5 cheeseburgers, man, not eat half of them. And I was just in and out, and I'd hold Rebecca, and then it just get to me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting still. My wife sat in the hospital room the entire time, 6 days, did not sleep, right after having a cesarean. But me, I just couldn't sit. So I want to move the car. I just need to move the car. Move it to a more permanent spot. So I went out and I got in the vehicle and turned the key and it didn't start. And I was angry. And I said, God, I don't want to work on a car when my baby's dying. And the thought came to me, you've been working on cars when my people are dying. Because I was building a four-wheel drive truck while I was trying to pastor a church. I went back up to the room. Joanna said, she's awake. I said, well, let's talk a while. And I had the difficult decision of pulling the cord on life support, which truthfully was not as hard. I mean, I know about heaven. I know when the thing's not an option. I know, and I know God takes responsibility for taking people home. I don't feel one bit of guilt or responsibility for it. And so we said, yep, it's not viable. Pull the cord. And we sat there and talked, and of course it didn't keep us from being heartbroken. And Joanna said, she said, I think Rebecca can see something. Now, I'm not trying to be superstitious or anything, but we're all Christians here, right? Amen? I'm not real charismatic or anything. She said she keeps looking up behind her up to the corner of the room. So she leaned down and she said, can you see him? Rebecca said. I said, is it bright? We sat there for 45 minutes and asked Rebecca questions, and she did that. For 1,000 different things we wanted to know. I know that's weird, but while God's pulling my heart out, I need a little antiseptic. I need a little anesthesia. I need a little healing. I need to keep infection out. I needed a Band-Aid. I needed something. And the Lord walked us through it. Well, they said, you can take her home. So we packed her up. Firstborn child. Took her home. Church was 5 feet from our house. I'd always intended in my heart to give every one of our children to God, and so we walked into church before we went in the house, and I said, let's go in here and pray a minute. We took Rebecca up, set her on the altar, and said, God, we don't want to see her go, but she's yours. And we really mean it. We don't always feel like we mean it, but we really, truly, deep in our soul, mean it. When I said, God, I want to know you, tear me down, build me back. I don't know what I've become, but I really meant it. I was not joking. I wasn't joking. I did not regret it. So We had Wednesday night service. Of course, Rebecca was deathly ill. She'd been having heart attacks every 20 minutes for two nights in a row. During that time, Joanna, who had a poor relationship with her daddy, who was a good missionary, but they struggled with their relationship, he came in and got down on his knees and said, "You don't deserve this. After the way I raised you, I deserve this." And they got reconciled, got right with each other. There was all kinds of things God did. I came in from preaching Wednesday night. Joanna, we were living in the back room of the house. We had people staying because of the events and everything, so all the rooms in the house, so we were sleeping on the floor in my office. And there she was holding Rebecca. And I fell asleep. I was exhausted. Woke up a little while later, and Joanna said, "I think she's about to go." And so I held her for the last little while. And we sang, "Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, I'm looking now across the river to where my face shall be in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight." And we cried our way through that song. And every time we'd go around, she'd smile. We'd sing, "What a day that will be." And as God did surgery on us to make me usable, to care about people, to move my affection from here to a world I've never seen, a part of me is there. Three minutes till midnight on my wife's birthday, Rebecca passed. I was holding her in my hands. And I'm telling you now, you could feel it. I felt her depart. I took her in and laid her in the casket. I walked out of the room and Joanna said, "I need her blanket. I got to keep her blanket." I walked back in, lifted her up out of the casket, unwrapped the blanket. I'll never forget that. Laid her back down, took Joanna the blanket. God did surgery. Took part of the old heart out, put some new one in. You say, "Why are you telling us this story?" I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to tell you, if God wants to do surgery, it's worth it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If He wants to put your faith through the fire so you'll trust Him more, it's worth it. If He wants to move your affections from here to there, it's worth it. And if He wants to soften your heart so you truly care for people, it's worth it. And some of that, I will be truthful, I say by faith, not by experience. Because the fullness of it being worth it, I have not yet tasted. But I believe God. Maybe God tore your heart out. Don't blame him. Be happy for the new one, because when you're suffering, old heart comes out, new heart comes in. And that desire that you had for God and to love God and please God can be fulfilled on a newer level with the old heart out and the new heart in. Lord, I pray, God, that you bless it. Hope it's been a help. In Jesus' name.